Psalm 25 and 4. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love from thee or from old. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers and readers of his word. Amen. You may be seated. I want to say good morning. What a wonderful day it is that God has blessed us to be a part of. Not only has he blessed us to be a part of this day, he has given us life. He's given to us abundantly. And I want to say happy Mother's Day to those of you who are mothers, who have mothers, or those of you that aspire someday to be a mother as well. May this be a wonderful day for you, as they honor you and give you all the things that you so deserve. The Bible says to us in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, and this verse is number 12, "For as woman came from man, so also man is born of a woman. But everything comes from God." Everything comes from God. There are many assembled here today solely to, they just due to the influence of a persevering godly mother, and that's one of the reasons why you're here. But it's been said that, and when it comes to men, they want their children to be just like them. And women, mothers, they want their children to be all they can be. And we want to be all that we can be, not simply because of our mothers have called us to be that way, but because God has called us to be all that we can be. See, the love of a mother is never, ever exhausted. One never gets tired of it, and it never changes. The love of a mother always endures, and through it all, she's there in good times and bad times. She's there in the face of evil, and she's there when everything is just so, so good. A mother's love will always live on. It lives on today and will live on even in your lives until you're old. I want to tell you today that it seems as though Jesus' mother, Mary, was never far away from him. I want to talk to you today about this young lady named Mary, who some people feel is just the mother of God. Even though Mary was chosen by God, she was never far away from her son. And it's no accident that the gospel accounts of Jesus' life and ministry, when you look at it, it begins with his mother, and she's right there. And the gospel accounts of Jesus' life not only begins with his mother, you see her as life ends as well. At the foot of the cross, you find Mary. Find her there. His father, Joseph, he was briefly mentioned at the beginning of Jesus' life, and he's seen again when Jesus was about 12 years old, teaching in that temple in Luke 2:47. But after this, the father disappears from the pages of the Gospels. But his mother, Mary, she was never, ever far away. You know, one of the greatest physical blessings that we have in our lives is the fact that we have mothers. And one of the greatest physical blessings in Jesus' life wasn't the fact that Mary was chosen to be his mother. It was that his mother, Mary, chose to obey God. Her obedience qualified her to be the mother of Jesus. And mothers today are capable of making the same choices. Same choices. Because Mary's obedience was so complete, not only did she recognize who God was, she also recognized the authority of her son, Jesus Christ, God's son, and our Savior. Sometimes we don't really recognize who our children are because we're so caught up in ourselves, wanting our kids to recognize who we are every waking moment of our lives. Mary recognized who Jesus was, not only because of obedience, but because of the authority of who the Christ was. In John chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, the Bible says this: On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus' disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine. My time has not yet come." "Why do you involve me?" Jesus said. His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he tells you to do, do it. Do it." Whatever Jesus tells you to do, we just need to go on and do it. You know, when it comes to Mary, some people want to make Mary out to be someone who she's really not. Some teach that Mary is immaculate in all of her purity. And they believe she was born without natural desires as the rest of women have. She was not born that way. They also believe that Mary's birth was somehow immaculate because she was qualified to be the mother of God. Some people make Mary out to be this pure woman unlike any other woman ever born. Some even believe in a perpetual virginity. It's true that she remained a virgin until Jesus was born. But Matthew speaks of Jesus' mother and brothers in Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 through 47. Her virginity was not perpetuated after the birth of Christ. As a matter of fact, in the book of Mark, he names four of Jesus' brothers and says he has at least two sisters. People make her out to be something that she is not. But what God made her is what she was and is what she represented. God made Mary a mother, and that's all who she ever was. God made you today as well to be a mother. The question is, just because you carry that name and that title that God made you a mother, do you represent the fact that you are actually a mother of your children? The whole world, they make unreasonable attempts to make Mary something other than what she was. And they're totally baseless, and they imply that ordinary women like you out here in this audience, you just can't be who Mary was. You never can obey like Mary did. I'm telling you that God is calling every mother today to become a mother of his children. When it comes to obedience, you see, obedience is often difficult for some. But through obedience, you're going to discover God's power through the Holy Spirit to recognize who you are and your full potential as a mother. As you recognize the authority of God and what he has made you to be and what he has called you to do, you will understand that to be obedient to God is to do his will and willingly obey him in all things. I got to tell you that even though the world made Mary out to be something that she's not, and they do it even today, the world in which Mary lived, they saw nothing of her immaculate behavior. Nothing of it at all. They didn't believe in her perpetual virginity either. Nobody in Mary's day talked about how immaculate she was. Nobody in Mary's day, after Jesus was born, talked about how much of a virgin that she was. Let me just say something to you today. When you look back at the time of Jesus as a child, the scriptures that you look at, the scriptures say, well, isn't he the son of Joseph? Isn't he the Nazarene? Isn't that Joseph's son? See, back then, they thought that he was the son of Joseph. And each child born gives mothers a chance to be a Mary. How? To carry out the obedient will of God as it pertains to her own children. Some people want to step out of their bounds and get in other people's lanes and want to be the mother to other people's children in a way that's really not respectable. Sometimes we got to watch that. But being a mother to your own children is what God called you to be. And some people are just not even capable of that. We look at how committed we ought to be, not only to our children, but we ought to be committed to God as well, because God has called you. Listen, it's really important to understand that God made mothers. God made it. Man is born of a woman, but God made mothers. Made mothers. And Mary, Mary is a perfect example of what God is willing to do with ordinary women just like you. Ordinary women, like the ones that you know. He's calling you to be the mother to take care of his children. But how many young people today are being caught up in the swirl of this world and are forsaking all their commitment to God? A lot of young people are doing that. The moral and spiritual problems of the day may not be so much as the failure of the youth, as they are the degeneration of Christian parents who are casually not obedient to God. The degeneration of Christian mothers who are cavalier in their faith. I don't want you to be surprised today, church. Because see, when we look at Acts chapter 10, the Bible says that God does not show favoritism. He wants everybody to come into repentance. Everybody, even mothers. Mothers have to be obedient to God first. I don't want you to be surprised. All mothers are not setting examples of obedient faith to God. And that's what I'm trying to call you to be a mother and be obedient to God in your life and in your faith. Because your children see that, don't they? They see it. And I wonder why sometimes you can't see it. Why you can't see the people we call good mothers. Listen, mothers who trivialize or minimize the role of the example in their lives need to read a list of the kings who ruled the kingdom of Israel and Judah after the nation was divided. Of the many father and son kings who led those tribes in those days, there are few of the sons that avoided the evil of their fathers. They ultimately corrupted the two nations with idolatry and immorality. Over and over and over again, the scripture says, and he did that which was evil in the sight of God. And he walked in the way of his father, and in his sin, he made Israel to sin as well. Why should mothers today think it would be any different with their children if they walk in sin? God is calling mothers to be righteous as well. It's not just the children. It's not just the fathers. If we are children of God, whether we mothers or whatever we are, whatever capacity we serve in, God calls us to be obedient. And people never talk about this, they never get real with that, but mothers are special, but they have to be obedient to God. Not only special to us, they have to be special to God as well, and you'll never be a special mother to God unless you are an obedient, amen? An obedient mother to God. Some trivialize that all the time. Mothers should not think it would be any different with their children if they walk in sin, if they choose to be disobedient to God and cavalier in their faith. That's a sad picture about Israel. That's a really sad picture. But what is more sad is the phrase that comes from people's mouths, and it's like this. It says, you know what, mother? I know you love me, even though sometimes you just don't show it. You ever heard that? You ever said that yourself? Mama, I know you love me, Mom, but you, sometimes you just don't say it and you just don't show it. I want you to understand that there are too many mothers that think that their personal sacrifice is enough. They think that's enough. 1 Samuel 15:22, Samuel spoke and he said these words, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and the heat is better than the fat of rams. As a mother, your obedience to God is your sacrifice. You are not the sacrifice. Your obedience to God, and your children are going to see that, and they're going to respond in kind, and you will be the kind of mother that God has called you to be. Not the kind of mother that the world dictates that you ought to be. We're to be listening to what God called us to be as a mother, not what the world says. Well, you know, she isn't that kind of a mother because she just doesn't do this or she doesn't do that. God directs us as mothers. He gives us everything we need for life and godliness, not the world. We listen to the world too much when it comes to us doing the things that applies to God. Obedience is what mothers need. Obedience is your sacrifice. I got to tell you that your children are going to be shaped one way or the other. And let's not neglect that wonderful gift of motherhood that God has given you. Let's not neglect that wonderful gift of obedience as a mother to God and as one to your children as well. I want to read to you today an article I read in the USA Today. Relationships are important, church. And there's nothing like a relationship between a mother and a daughter. There's just simply nothing like it. Nothing like it. Listen to this article. Today, I shelled out $75 to send my mom tulips for Mother's Day. It was the best I could do, seeing as how I won't be spending the day with her. $75 for tulips is the best I can do for my mother. Now, before you start to pat me on the back for this, I should say that I don't live far from my mother. She's 30 minutes away, right down the street. With no traffic, I'll be there in an instant. Nor do I have a prior engagement that I can't get out of my house. My day is free and clear. I have nothing on my schedule. The only reason I'm not seeing my mom today for Mother's Day is because I don't want to. In fact, I haven't spoken to my mother since last Mother's Day. She kicked me out of her house. Hadn't spoke since. Since that day, I've chosen not to include my mother in my life. A part of me considered swallowing my feelings, like always, shoving them down to a deep, dark corner behind my stomach so I could show up and celebrate because that's what good daughters do. Good daughters celebrate their mothers. Good daughters let things go because they know how hard their mother worked for them. They overlook their mother's flaws because they fulfill the obligation of raising them. Good daughters hold their tongue when their mothers pick apart their relationships. They accept when their mothers throw out words like naive or other bad words because of what possible world could be more than the world of a mother who knows everything. Good daughters accept that it's just how their mother is. Good daughters, well, they just let it go. And then I ask myself this question, if being a good daughter is worth it, if it means never saying when I'm hurt or disappointed and my mother never recognizing that, is being a good daughter worth silently letting it go when she chooses not to apologize to you? Is being a good daughter worth it when she doesn't even acknowledge how deeply her words can cut you and affect you and shape your life? I decided that it wasn't worth that. So I've opted not to celebrate with her for Mother's Day this year. This year, I've decided that the obligation of family isn't worth a dent to my self-esteem or my mental health. I can't keep taking this from someone just because they raised me. This article speaks volumes, church. It says to me that mothers need not only acquire a semblance of godliness, mothers need God. They need God. And mothers ought always to set good examples of how the love of God and her obedience as a result of that love which lives in her, how she can be for her children what God has called her to be. That's all she has to be. And if you do that in obedience to God, you're going to be the mother that your children look and respect every waking moment of their lives. They'll never forget you. No, kids will never forget their mothers. They will always love you in spite of what you can do whatever you want to them. You can take them to the wall. Your kids will always love you. Listen, we love our mothers. We do. But all mothers are not obedient to God. And this is what God is calling you to today, to be obedient to God, that your children might be obedient as well. How can any mother, including my own mother, expect her children to exceed the righteousness of her own behavior. It'll never happen. Never happen. And speaking to the nation of Jerusalem about her immoral behavior in Ezekiel 16:44, this is what God said. He says, as is the mother, so is her daughter. Ever heard that one before? What we usually say is so as the father, so is the son. Or we say something like, the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. But God says in Ezekiel 16, so as the mother is, the daughter is going to be the exact same way. Look around. Look around you. We've also heard another phrase. And boy, women hate to say this one. I'm slowly turning into. I'm slowly turning to my mother, and I just can't take it. Amen. I can't take it. If you turn into your mother, my prayer is, Lord, please let it be as a result of her obedient faith. Lord, please let it be as a result of the love of God that she has for you, and that's going to draw you to his complete will in your life. Let it be from that example. We must not allow the world to make us into something we are not. There are unreasonable attempts to make Mary something other than what we are. It's baseless and implies that ordinary women like yourself could never obey God as Mary did. And I'm telling you today that you can. You can. Because God has called you to be the mother that he wants you to be. Mary was an example to all of her children concerning obedience. In Luke 2:41 through 52 is the account. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they didn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" Jesus asked. "Don't you know I had to be about my father's business?" But they didn't understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them. Listen to what the Bible says. And Jesus was obedient to his parents. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with men. Mary was called by God, and she was qualified to teach her son obedience because she exemplified obedience in her own life. I gotta tell you, there's too many mama's boys. There's too many mama's boys that's marrying girls today, and they're not men. Listen, Christian men, how in the world can you be a Christian man and observe the ordinance of God, and your mother's not a Christian, and you listen to a spiritual advice from her? There are too many men that are Christian men whose mothers are not converted into Christ, and we need to start working on that our mothers might be Christians just as we are, so that when they give us advice, listen, you cannot talk spiritual things with people that are not spiritual. We need mothers to be Christians and mothers to be spiritual, so that their sons will not be mother's boys. They will be children of God just like their mothers are. There are too many men who are listening to their mothers when it comes to their families, their children, their jobs. Oh, is that foreign to you? You never heard of a mama's boys before? We need men. We need women in the church, as Eunice and Lois was, to raise up some Timothys that they might be obedient to God. Eunice and Lois was. And as a result of their obedience, here comes Timothy. And it was a man that God could trust. The
Bible doesn't tell you he got married, but I guarantee you if he would have got married, he would have took care of his wife without question. He wouldn't have abandoned his wife nor his children. We talk about mothers today. Amen. But some mothers, they don't support their sons' marriages. Some of them don't even like their daughter-in-laws. I'm talking about relationships. Mary was qualified to teach her son obedience because she exemplified obedience in her own life. She exemplified the way that she desired her son to live. And it was Christ's obedience that qualified him to be the author of our eternal salvation. Listen to what the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 5, 8 through 10. He says, although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be the high priest in the order of Melchizedek. I'm afraid that the spirit of disobedience has affected us all. Listen, we all love our mothers. We do. But I'm telling you that your life would be a whole lot better if your mother was a Christian, period. Because she would be obedient to God as well. And as you live your life and you have your kids and generations go by, you're going to find that the obedience of God is the strand that runs through that life. And everybody has an abundant life in Christ as a result of that. Because your mother is obedient. Not because she knows how to cook so good. That doesn't always pass down the line. People don't always get the recipe, but God's word always comes down the line. And if you get it from your mother, amen, you're getting it from somewhere. But not just getting her word that she trusts in God, looking at her example, looking at her life, at her words, at her behavior, looking at her as a mother, as God looks at her. Sometimes we let the world make us out to be something that we're really not. Mothers are special, but God made mothers, not us. And he expects mothers just like us to be obedient because salvation is what is at hand. Salvation is what we're talking about, a relationship with God. That's what we're talking about. Listening. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 through 50, while Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and his brothers stood outside, and they wanted to speak to him. Someone said, your mother and brothers are outside. He said, who is my mother? And who are my brothers? He was pointing to his disciples, and he said, here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and my mother. Whoever does the will of God is my mother. I'm afraid the spirit of disobedience has affected all of us because some of us are still living under the influence of their mother's religion. Yes, you are. Sure you are. And you just can't seem to shake it. We want eternal life. But we just can't seem to let go and obey the author of eternal salvation because we still listen to our mothers who's not Christians. In Luke chapter 1 and verse number 30, this is what was said. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. Do not be afraid, Mary. Why? Because you have found favor with God. And that's what I'm calling you to today. This is as good a Mother's Day as any. It's a wonderful Mother's Day, as a matter of fact. And what I want, and what I want you to understand, what Brother Collins is saying today, is that I want you as a mother to find favor with God. Your children are going to always favor you. You're not going to always have good times with them, but you're not going to always have bad times either. Just be a mother. Just find favor with God as a mother. Don't be afraid. Listen, I got to tell you that Nicodemus was one of the smartest men that ever lived. The Bible tells us that. The Bible says in John 3 that he came to Jesus by night because he had a question. He had something that he just couldn't understand. He says, how can someone be born when they are old, Nicodemus said. Can they enter their mother's womb a second time and be born again? Here's what Jesus said, the son of Mary told him. Truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. Again. You got to be born again. Job, man born of a woman, is but a few days and full of trouble. Jesus Christ over in the book of John 3:3 says, you must be born again. Not of a mother, not of flesh and blood, but of the very Spirit of God. Let me tell you something, church. Mary might have raised Jesus, but it was God who raised him up. And he says, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'm going to draw all men unto me. God raised up Jesus. We need to be born again. We have mothers that are not even born again, and we have all the resources to teach them, in love, that they might understand who God is and who God calls them to be. Will you do it? You say you love your mother. You say you love her. You're going to spend Mother's Day with her today. Is the subject of Jesus ever going to come up? Oh, that's love. That exceeds love. Don't you know you and your mama can talk about anything that y'all want to talk about? Some things you can't, but you can talk about Jesus with your mama. And your mama, if she's a Christian, can talk about Jesus to her children. Is it going to happen? Are there any obedient mothers out there today who understand what God has called them to be? Talk about love. Oh, talk about the love of a mother. I love my mother, but my mother should not expect me to be something that she has never, ever been. Amen? Shouldn't expect me to be that. The world expects mothers to just be super moms. And how do you get to be a super mom? By wearing those mom jeans? Is that it? Nah. You get to be a mother because God has blessed your womb to be that. Amen? You had absolutely nothing to do with it. Understand that. It is a gift from God. And let's just treat it as such. Not cavalier, not slipping in our faith, but giving everything that we are and who we're going to be to God because he has blessed our lives to be the mother that he has called us to be. You can do it. You can do it. I know you can do it. Love is a wonderful thing. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Galatians 4:4, man was born of a woman. Jesus was born of a woman, and he came here to save your life, not even your life, the same woman that he was born from, he saved her life too. And you can do the same thing. You can encourage your mother. Ephesians chapter 6. Doesn't it talk something about honoring your father and your mother? Yeah, this doesn't just start. Because some lady in 1940 decided she wanted to make a holiday, and Woodrow Wilson says, okay, this is going to be Mother's Day now. God Ben said that. Honor your father and your mother. Why? Because it's a promise attached to that. He says, if you honor your father and your mother, your days on earth are going to be long. Amen? Let's live long lives, church. Let's honor our mothers. And let's do it even if it kills us. Amen? Let's do it. And let her know the love that you have in your heart for God, that she might see God in you and glorify God and maybe obey him as well if she's not a Christian. And if you're not a Christian today, if you're not one today, you have the same opportunity as everybody else to obey God and his will. God calls us, it says in John 6:45, it's written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that had heard and learned of the Father comes unto me. Let God raise you up too. Die to your sins and let God raise you up to be the child that he has called you to be. We got to believe that Jesus is Christ. In John 8:24, he says, truly, truly, I say unto you, unless you believe that I am he, you're going to die in your sins. You're going to die. We got to repent of our sins. Luke 13:3-5, I tell you, Nate, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You're going to perish. You know, Peter said to the Jews of dispersion that God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. But God is patient to us, Lord. He's long-suffering to us, not willing that any man should die, but that all should come into repentance. We need to repent of our sins. We need to confess Christ. Confess him. Romans 10:9-10. It's with the heart that you confess him. It's with your mouth that you receive him. It's a heart and it's a mouth thing. You can't disconnect one from the other. The mouth speaks what comes from the heart. Can you just talk about Christ a little bit today? Can you just confess him today? We got to be baptized in Christ for the remission of our sins. There's no other reason for baptism that the Bible defines except for the remission of your sins. Now, you might look in there and there might be 1,000 reasons the world has given you. But there's no other reason. You're not saved before baptism. No, you're not. It just doesn't happen. You're not saved just because you got a good feeling, you feel something in your heart. No, you're not. You're not. Galatians 3:26-27. Listen to what it says. Talk about being a mother. For we all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That means we're born of God at that time. You can't be born of God unless you're baptized into Christ. You can't be a Christian before baptism. You can't just feel it and say that you got it. You're feeling like, just because you're feeling like a baby don't mean you're going to be born. Am I right? Just because you're sitting in the garage, right, doesn't mean that you're a car. Amen. Baptized into Christ. That's how you put on Christ. If we can help you to understand it today, why don't you come and we stand and sing the invitation song.